hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Interesting times we live in. You look at the news, so much chaos and confusion in the world. You look at the U.S., confusion in the universities, you know, Middle East tensions and all that is happening in the world. You know, U.S. has just passed a bill to send this 60-something billion dollars of military support to Ukraine and Israel. And that means the Ukraine war is going to be ramped up at another level, because now they are getting equipment and weapons which would trigger Russia to also do the stream. So looks like this world is not going to know peace anytime soon. I mean, at least based on what we are seeing from the Middle East and then in Ukraine, Russia war issues. So, well, this world is as it is. You know, if anyone tells you that things will get better and all that, no. I mean, it's not going to get any better. Yeah, I mean, just look at the weather. I mean, extreme heat, look at the news, extreme floods in various countries, people dying out of floods. Dubai had one of their strangest and most outrageous flooding ever. And, you know, now East Africa, parts of East Africa, people dying from floods. Now, see, the weather itself is unpredictable, is defying norms and all that. But, well, these are the times we live in where uncertainties are just the order of the day. Our only hope must be in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's the only thing we can hold on to in these troubled times. All right, I've been working on this series of being aware of the deception that we find ourselves in these times, in these end times, the deception. And tonight I'm continuing from there. And I believe it's very important we talk about such a topic, because the deception we see around, we hear, you know, online, the sermons and all that, you hear some and you realize, no, something is just not right. But believers should be made aware of these things so that we don't fall into the traps. And, you know, deception thrives perfectly and successfully on ignorance. That's the fundamental principle. I mean, once there's ignorance, deception thrives. But there are a whole lot of other strategies and keys we can deploy to also make ourselves deception proof. You know, so last week I started talking about, like, we should be measured in how we trust any man of God, any woman of God. I mean, that one, you know, it's a fact. We just can't overtrust someone, a human being. A human being is a human being. You can make mistakes. You can go into error. All sorts of things can happen. So we should be measured in the level, to which, how far we trust someone. So as soon as the person deviates, you don't follow in the deviation. Because Jesus warned that if they blind lead the blind, they will fall into the ditch. But these are the times where you should not be blind, or we should not be blindly following a trusted leader. No, open your eyes so that when he is deviating, you can see, so that you don't follow. No. You don't close your eyes now to follow anyone. No, open your eyes. open your eyes. And that's what we talked about. Tonight, I'll be continuing. But first, let's delve into a few news items and I'll be back with the main topic. So let's start with the news. Relentless anti-Semitism spreads across college campuses in the U.S., and it's disheartening. I mean, to see what is happening. This one says, imagine walking on your college campus or the campus your son or children or your daughter attends and being met with mobs of angry, violent people shouting pro-terror chants. Imagine being threatened with murder and faced with vehement hatred simply for existing or being against terrorism. In a sense, you don't have to imagine it completely, because these absurdities are exactly what's increasingly unfolding at universities in the U.S. Over the weekend, numerous videos surfaced of anti-Israel groups chanting obscenities. At Columbia University, for example, protesters were yelling, "Oh, Al-Qassam Brigade, you make us proud. Kill another soldier now. Israel will fall. Palestine is Arab, and we are all Hamas," as well as other cries encouraging the obliteration of Israel. Some of the protesters even went as far as calling for the murder of the counter-protesters carrying American and Israel flags. After some were arrested, including Republican Omar's daughter, the campus chaos has continued. And it's still continuing. You check on CNN, Fox News, and other networks. They have reports of it. You know, you look at it, and yes, today is hatred against Jews. But it will not be long. It will be hatred against Christians and Jews and anything godly and anyone Christian. You know, it's starting from somewhere. And, you know, when Jesus talked about this hatred in Matthew 24, that you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we are seeing. The hatred for Jews has become worldwide, widespread. But you see, it looks, for now, it looks like it's only Jews. But I can tell you that it would get to a point where the hatred will be extended to Christians. Because, you see, the world is becoming anti-Christian by the day, anti-God, anti-Christ, and all that by the day. The spirit of Antichrist is already hovering on the earth seriously and influencing. You know, you can see the hatred in these people. It's just not normal. It's demonic inspired. You see, so that hatred will be extended to Christians because it's the same God we all believe in. And that's how it is. The times of the anti-God sentiments and the anti-Christ sentiments is going to increase. It's not going to decrease. No. We are going to see and hear more of such things and to go beyond places where we never imagined, I mean, seeing these things. But that's the spirit that's operating. And then the next news item is also interesting in line with this. But you see, from the angle where it's coming from, that's what makes it interesting. Hamas and Iran praise anti-Israel college protest in the U.S. And it says an official with the Palestinian terror group Hamas and the supreme leader of Iran have praised the growing college campus protest in the United States against Israel's military offensive in Gaza, including pro-Hamas demonstrations in Columbia University that has driven fear into hearts of Jewish students. Columbia University in New York announced a shift to hybrid classes after protesters set up a Gaza solidarity encampment last Wednesday. This led to the arrest of more than 100 people after the Columbia University president, Shafiq, authorized police to clear the camp. The demonstrators resettled the camp, and there have been multiple reports of Jewish members of Columbia's community feeling unsafe due to the encampment. The demonstration has prompted calls for the Biden administration to take away the school's federal funding and discipline the demonstrations, which some say should include revoking the visas of students expressing support for terrorist groups. On Wednesday, Izzat Al-Reshek, a member of the Hamas Political Bureau, accused the Biden administration of violating student and faculty rights.
claiming that they are only rejecting the genocide that our Palestinian people are subjected in Gaza Strip at the hands of the new Nazi Zionists. The USA Today quoted the Hamas official as saying, "Today's students are the leaders of the future." And that is where the worry comes in. If these are the future of the leaders of the future, then America is in trouble, the world is in trouble. Because you can see the extreme liberalism that the current crop of students in the universities are having in the Western world, and it's really a cause of concern. All right, to continue, say Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Khomeini also praised the protests. And you know, it tells you the way America is going down morally, and let me put it, common sense way. I mean, it's as if now there's no common sense again. You see that this is bad, but you see, you have people who are cheering it on. You have, you know, the good is now bad, the bad is now good. And that's really, really distressing and worrying thing to see in America. Well, we go to the next one, India's Punjab state, where, Sikh warriors wielding swords injured pastor in a brutal attack. So a group of men belonging to the Sikh warrior order last week attacked the pastor and another Christian with swords and knives in northern India's Punjab state for leading church worship in their village. Four Sikhs who are members of the traditional warrior group are permitted to carry such weapons, attacked Pastor Singh, alias Gujrit Rinku, and his younger brother Gujrit Singh on April 18th in the village where, and then there's this, that's according to their relative, the assailants first told Pastor Singh and then later the other, his brother, "We have warned you earlier as well to not conduct church and not convert people, but you have not paid heed," according to a report. The four Sikhs, Nihang Sikhs, found the pastor standing outside the house where the worship service is held around 9 a.m. Finding him alone, these men pounced on him and struck him with swords and knives. Wow. Hearing the commotion, she and then the wife and then the pastor, the brother, rushed out, and the pastor was rushed to the hospital. The mob swiftly turned to the pastor and struck him with several blows of the sword. You know, that's just, India is witnessing some of the harshest and violent attacks against Christians in modern times. You know, the government fully in support of it, and that's what makes it very, very serious, where there are instances in villages and rural communities where you, the victim, the Christians, you rather go and report it and you are arrested in the first place for you being rather the trouble causer. I mean, because the police are largely Hindus or Sikhs and all that, so it's like you already an enemy, they see you as the trouble causer. And then we have this one. Germany passes radical law allowing parents to trans their infants from birth. So when it comes to gender politics, many in the position acknowledge that adults have the ability to choose for themselves whether they pursue hormone therapy or body mutilating operations, because adults can better weigh in the risk of their decisions. Children, on the other hand, are quite different from adults. Opponents of gender ideology are steadfast in their fight to keep these ideological procedures away from children because they understand how vulnerable they are to the mutilative nature of the so-called gender-affirming care. Far too many kids have already become victims of medical experiments as it is. This is what makes a recent law passed in Germany even more infuriating. On April 12, the Bundestag, or the German parliament, passed one of the world's most far-reaching sex self-determination policies, known as the Self-Determination Act. The radical legislation establishes gender identity as a protected characteristic and allows parents to change the sex marker on their children's documents from birth. Redax reported citizens can now be fined €10,000 for dead naming, quote unquote dead naming, which is a term LGBT activists use for when someone without their permission is referred to by their name given to them at birth rather than the name they choose as part of their identity facade. And just when it appears it can't anymore be drastic, the law permits parents to, after the recorded sex of children beginning from birth, from the age of 5 years old, it allows for name and sex changes if there is mutual consent between the child and the parents. Physicians have emphasized that Europe is ahead of US in terms of how far gender ideology has gone. Some countries, though, such as UK, Sweden, Finland, and Norway, have begun backtracking as more evidence comes to light of the harmful nature of these procedures. Thankfully, the battle is strong in America from the side of those determined to keep children safe by preventing legislation such as the one in Germany. You know, it's sad because I've seen the transition videos of people who transition from maybe male to female and then now back to male or vice versa, and the regret is so profound, because I mean, some of the, you can't undo some of the harm, the effect of the procedure, done or conducted on your body. And you see people transition male to female and now they feel suicidal, they feel uncomfortable, then they want to go back. But then for those who have done surgeries, I mean, you're a male and then they do surgery, they cut all your whatever makes you a male outside, and now you want to go back to become a female. No, they made you a female, now you want to go back to become a male. I mean, where are you going to get all the stuff from? You know, this is the absurdity the world is witnessing. And this detransitioning back and forth and all that, it makes you see that, I mean, what is the sense in this whole operation, that the world is blindly, I mean, advocating and pushing the trans movement? You know, it's very sad. You know, children, you know, young, I mean, they do it. Recently I saw one case where the girl or lady, whatever you call her now, in her late teens, is suing the doctor who did the surgery from male to female. So now she has regretted, has regretted becoming a female, a fake female, let me call it that way. And so suing the doctor. And you see, so the regret is there, but you can't, there's no surgery they can do again that can make you as God created you. God created you in his image, and you were beautifully made in his image, male or female. I mean, that's what God created. So any other thing you do to transform yourself, I mean, you are no longer in his image, and that's a very deadly mistake anyone can make. And that's the world we live in. It's sad. You look at children and parents are pursuing it and are pushing it. To what end? And then what? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they have some of the highest suicidal rates amongst any, I mean, groups of communities or groups of whichever way, because, I mean, the devil will just push you, and ultimately he's pushing you to hell. So suicide is one of the surest ways to ensure that you keep on the highway to hell. So they become very suicidal after they do these transitions, and I mean, even when it's successful, but you know, that's not who you are, that's not your real identity. You see, this is the deception. So they make it look like, well, I want to be me, I want to be the real me and all that. Fine, then they do the surgery, And then after they've done the surgery, you look at yourself in the mirror, and then now you start feeling like, what have I done? What mistakes have I done? And all that. Then now they become suicidal. Yeah, and that's how the devil plays his games. All right, this is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi, Ghana. Listening outside the city, greetings to you. I'll be back after this short break.
You are on a collision course with us. Please change your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision.
Recommend you change your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision.
When we are told to change course, we have a choice to make. Do we change or continue on the same path?
We are a naval ship. This is the captain speaking. I say again, divert your course.
No, I say again, divert your course.
Jesus gave us a choice to make when he said, "You are from below, I am from above." If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins.
Sir, we could change course here.
We have the right of way. I am not changing our course. Unknown vessel, this is an aircraft carrier. We are a large warship. Divert your course now.
This is a lighthouse. Your call.
When it comes to Jesus, what choice will you make?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome to the game show, For Heaven's Sake. Today's contestants will compete to see whose sin is unforgivable. Our contestants are Frank and Alex. Okay, Frank, tell us your sin.
I told my wife I lost my wedding ring, but actually I hawked it at a pawn shop to pay off my gambling debts.
Wow, the judges rate that unforgivable. Alex, it's now your turn.
Well, some coworkers and I made fun of this guy, and we beat him up. And then we killed him, even though he didn't deserve it.
Alex, that's something no one would forgive.
Actually, one person did forgive us. The guy we killed said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Have you done something that you think God will not forgive? Even when Jesus was being crucified, he forgave those doing the killing. God's love is greater than our sins. Have you accepted his forgiveness?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly, facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb understand, but best laid plans I've made.
Song by Jessica Kane. All right, so you're back on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Aben. All right, so we started this deception series 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at the first key to, you know, defend and protect ourselves, to shield ourselves from the deception, and that was the level, trust level thing I talked about. Now, the second key to deploy, let's read Acts 17:10-11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You know, can you imagine, you know, normal church as we know, and after service you have some brethren and sisters, you know, let's meet at so and so's house and let's analyze and, you know, what was taught today in church, you know, compare and see if it was right. Interesting time. Somebody who just pass the back and go and report to pastor that we have some rebels association forming in the church. They want to, you know, poke holes in his sermons and analyze him and weigh him, and, you know, I mean, a whole lot of things will happen. You hear all sorts of things happening. But you see, can you imagine the whole Paul, I mean, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament as we know it and all that, if he has done a teaching or thoughts and all that, then people would still not just take it on the surface that, oh, okay, it's Brother Paul who has spoken, so let's take it as it is. I mean, that is the problem we have now in our modern Christianity, where we overtrust. It's still linked to the trusting. We overtrust personalities, so we don't now study things on our own to ensure that we are not being deceived. And this is where the issue, the second key is, we should learn to be Bible students. We should become Bible students on our own. You know, because you see,
the days when we just left anything to chance, I think those days are over. Because the deception we are talking about, these are prophecies that Jesus warned about. You know, Matthew 24:4-5, he talked about it, 24:11, 24:24. Deception is going to be a major part of the end time. So, I mean, it's just obvious and it's just wise that we ensure that we are deception proof. We ensure that, because see, the key word in the warnings of Jesus, I mean, looking at the 24:11, is the word many. And that is very, very worrying, because there will be many false deceivers. And of course, if there are more deceivers, then there will be more being deceived. So the numbers, the sheer numbers alone, should cause us to be concerned. Because if many deceivers will come, then many false prophets will come and shall deceive many, then the probability of being deceived, I mean, is the majority. So if you lose your guard, you will be amongst the majority to be deceived. In other words, it's a minority who will not be deceived. Because if many will be deceived, then that means few will escape the deception. And for the few to escape the deception, that means they took heed to the warnings of Jesus. Because he says, take heed no one deceives you, in Matthew 24:5, when he was talking of 24:4, when he was talking of the beginning of the signs and all that. Take heed means you have to be careful. You have to be alert. You have to be watchful. So that's why we are looking at some of the keys we can use to be watchful, to be alert and all that. Because if you just operate as you've always been operating this way, or that's how we've been doing it all these years, anything goes. No. Then you will fall into the deception. You'll be a direct victim. You'll be deceived earlier than, because you see, once you expose yourself, you'll be deceived, because the deceivers are out anyway. And more complicated deceivers are coming. I mean, where we are getting to the serious point where we are going to have more abnormal and strange doctrines. It's beginning to come, but it's going to increase. It's going to increase. So you see, we have to decide to be Bible students. We have to decide to know the Bible for ourselves. We have to decide to know what is in for ourselves, not only what we are told. I mean, I had a very unfortunate case. A pastor told me this, a friend directly, he told me himself, in the former church where he used to be an associate, you know, they did Bible teaching, and then after the service, you know, Bible teaching is open, you know, questions are put across, people are, I mean, are giving the answers and all that. And that's one good thing that is missing in a number of churches these days. There's no Bible teaching. All they know is just preaching. The pastor comes to give a lecture, that's it, he finishes, he closes, amen. No one asks questions, you know, it's done. But Bible teaching services are more of a learning, a class where people can ask questions and learn and all that. So, unfortunately, I mean, the churches where it's even done, the attendance is as woeful as anything. I mean, it's the least attended service in any church. I mean, it's very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. So, this pastor, who was an associate in that church, someone asked the question, and, you know, the answer is in the Bible, of course, but, you know, the answer the person others, the other pastors were giving, wasn't really the right one. So when it got to his turn, all he said was, well, I mean, people, when they go home, they should read the word, that whole chapter again, and, you know, learn the word for themselves, know God for themselves, and all these things. And it's like, you know, someone took offense that, hey, I mean, why has he said that? It's like, you know, but that is the fact. If people should not know the word of God for themselves, I mean, what is wrong? Why should they always know the word of God only based on what their pastor tells them, or only through their pastor? Because when their pastor is in error, that means then they are in error. You see, so it's, that's the ideal thing. Any right man of God who really loves the spiritual growth of the members, who will encourage them to read the word for themselves, to study the word for themselves and all that. But here's the case where someone is not happy. People are being encouraged to study the word for themselves, because when they go and study the word for themselves, they will see that the senior pastor made a mistake. So it's like they shouldn't go. Don't encourage them to go and read so that will be exposed, type of thing. You see, this is a clear case of what we are talking about, where we should get into the word ourselves, not only be basing on what we've been told, what pastor said. So that's all they know. The only thing you know is what your pastor has said. But what about you? What do you know? You know, I remember I have this friends in this. It's a couple. They're a couple in the U.S. and the lady is black American. The husband is the Ghanaian. It's through the husband that I got to know. So both of them became friends. And the wife, this black American is no nonsense type. So they used to attend a Ghanaian church in the U.S. and the wife got offended, but eventually got infuriated by the way the pastor talks all the time. Every time, referring to the senior pastor, what the senior pastor has said. So everything is the senior pastor said. So one day after church, this lady walked to the pastor. And so every time your senior pastor says, what about you? What is God telling you? You that you are standing in front of me preaching to me. What is God telling you to tell me? Because every time you are referring to what your senior pastor said, and you never say anything, God told me this, or this is what I'm saying, this is what I've learned, or I'm reading. You see, so this is also they stop the church immediately after. Because it's like, that means you, the pastor, now there's nothing in you. You are just quoting and repeating what someone has said. You yourself, do you know God for yourself? Do you know the word for yourself? No. You see, so how much more the members? So this is how it should be. We should desire to know the word of God for ourselves, not on second-hand transmission type of thing. It's what you've been taught and what you've been told that you know. We have to still learn. We have to be taught. Yes, it's all important. But then we should decide to go beyond what we are just told, because what we are told, we should still verify whether it can be wrong, because now that you have people twisting verses and turning it upside down and breaking the neck as if it's like, they read a different special Bible that they alone have in their rooms. No one else has some. We are having all these abnormal, statements purported to be coming from the Bible, which it's not there. Or they just pick one verse and then intentionally skip the next verse, because the next verse nullifies what they are saying. Their main message and agenda for the day, if they continue reading the subsequent verses, it would destroy the message. So they will just read one verse and then run with it throughout the whole service, make their commentaries, and then finish and say they finish the service for the day. I cited this example a few times, in previous editions. I'll cite it again, because if you say that the visits by three people to Abraham, it was just a vision, it wasn't a physical thing. I'm talking of Genesis 18, by the way. Then it means, you don't understand the English that you read there. But you see, when I listened to this man of God when he was reading it, an outside East African or something, and when the Bible reader in church was, so he just read the first verse, and the man was about to continue reading, they said, no, don't continue. You see, so intentionally don't continue, because if you continue, you get to know that this was a physical visitation, because there was interaction, physical communication. Their dusty feet were washed. They were given food to eat. They were given milk to drink. They talked. Sarah laughed. Sarah heard the conversation. All these things shows there was a physical visitation, divine visitation, two angels and the God. Visiting. But then, when you only read the first verse and make it look like it was a vision, not a physical visitation. And see, there, someone said this week, I read somewhere, the person said, what amazes him is when you hear the comments in the church doing these so-called wild revelations by the men of God, where you hear the wows, the wow. And it's like, wow, what is wrong with people? Wow. I mean, your pastor tells you this and it's like, wow. You see, it's unfortunate, but this is what is happening. You see, if the people in the room, when if they had read the Bible themselves before, they've even read that portion of Genesis 18 before, if they have known that, no, Pastor Wadia, in fact, you would have known. But it tells you people are not Bible studying themselves, they are not even reading, because this one is doesn't entail Bible study. This is just even Bible reading. Just reading that portion alone, just reading the story alone makes you knowledgeable about what happened there, what transpired there. So it tells you people are not even reading the Bible. They don't know anything about these basic stories in the Bible. So a basic story like this, I mean, God is coming, God comes to Abraham with two angels. From there, the angels go to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the place. Abraham negotiates with God and all these things. These are basic Bible stories, but yet people can be deceived about this, twist it, make it extreme, whatever it is, which is not so. So that's why we need to read the Bible for ourselves. We need to study the Bible for ourselves. We need to meditate. We should have it in us. Just like a good lawyer has the law, can make references to the law and all that. Of course, I mean, you can't memorize all the laws of the land, but at least you should know that, oh, this case is here, okay, so let me refer to it and all that. Uh-huh. In an era now where we have Bibles on phones, that means anywhere you are, most likely you have a Bible with you on your phone. So if you are in whatever, in dire need of having the Word of God as a reference, you just open your phone and refer to it. Just search. It's even easier to search, because that one there, the main Bible, if you don't know where it is, flipping, you may not even know where it is, but that's a different case. But for the phone one, it can, within seconds, you can reach whatever verse you are looking for. So what makes it difficult for believers to be in the era where we have the phones in our hands almost every day, every time? That is even when we have believers who know next to nothing about the Bible. Next, they know nothing. All these people who say, wow, when they are being deceived. I mean, they have smartphones with Bibles on them. What have they been doing with those Bibles? You know? You see, so we should encourage ourselves. We should motivate ourselves that, and ultimately, we should now warn ourselves that if you are never encouraged to read the Word, study the Word for yourself, you've never been motivated to do so for yourself, now we should see it as a mission that is necessary to save your own soul, because the deceivers are coming. The deceivers, the professional deceivers, are being unleashed onto the world, into the body of Christ, to come and deceive. And I've said it before that, you see, the devil will never make an investment that he doesn't expect dividends. No. He will never make an investment if he doesn't expect dividends. And the dividends that he expects from this mass deception that will be unfolding in our time is to deceive people off the narrow way, onto the broad way, ultimately into hell. That's the ultimate. I mean, the devil will never waste time if he's not going to get results that will benefit him and his kingdom. Why would he waste his time to come and deceive believers? Why would he waste his time? And if, even, let's say, if the believers are deceived, and they will still be safe, they will still be okay in God's kingdom, and he still can't transfer them into his kingdom, why would he still waste his time? Because that means a waste of time and effort. But the fact that he is going to invest in these soul deceivers to come and deceive people's souls, deceive them of the truth, means there's a danger somewhere. If you misbehave, you can move from one end to the other end. You can leave the kingdom of God after you've been saved, you'll be deceived, and then you now be saying all sorts of things. So this Bible is not true, and all. I mean, we are seeing people castigate the word of God. They used to be Christians. They used to be one of us. But now, they are out there criticizing the Bible, trying to punch holes and all sorts of things. This is how serious. So we should now see the seriousness of not having the word in us, not having ourselves as Bible students who get into the word of God, studying, reading, meditating it and all that. So that in case we find ourselves being confused, being, you know, we see the signals, we can immediately shield ourselves and defend ourselves. And that's so, so important in these times, because seriously, you look, I mean, you just have to just be on YouTube for some time and you look at some of the churches, some of the things happening, some of the things being said, and it's amazing that, I mean, how? I mean, sometimes you just ask yourself, so why these people who go, whether they walk to church or they drive or they take a bus or they take train, whatever they take to move themselves, move from point A to point B, go and sit in these churches and still be there. Okay, you go, I mean, went the first week, you were deceived. Okay, you didn't see. You went to the second week, deceived. Third week, fourth, fifth. Now it becomes your full bona fide church. Every you go there all the time. This pastor is your papa, your father, your grandfather, whatever you call him. And you are just comfortable in the deception. Then there's something wrong with you. Because if you had the word in you, you had your defensive mechanisms and strategies as we are discussing, you would have sensed that no, something is not right. The next one we'll get into is discernment. I mean, but because of time, like, we can't finish it. So God will, next week, that will be the main thing, discernment. I mean, you should be able to know that something is not right. These same people we talk about, when you start watching, you see them on YouTube, cry. Some of them, you, as soon as you see them, you just know that no. So, we're so free. I mean, he just... And there was one, the one who said this Abraham thing, vision of God. I had never listened to him, but when the first time I saw a picture of a program somewhere, and I mean, this guy looks, you know, it doesn't look correct. But I had not listened to him. I had not heard anything about him. So when the first time I heard him talk about this Abraham thing, I said, this one, they confirmed. Because, you see, you don't need to struggle. The basic ones, you don't need to struggle to even just identify and spot them. I mean, just like, this Accra, this woman, Accra, die, and all these funny people. And Sunday, people go and sit there, and it's like they are in church. Doing what? What are you listening to? What are you being told? What are you being taught? And people, so you just see that someone said something, and sometimes I think I'm forced to believe. He said, some people have intentionally decided that they want to be deceived. It's like they have told themselves that I want to be deceived. So I'm going out to be deceived. So when they are leaving home to church, it's like I'm looking for a place where I can go to be deceived. Because aside that, how else can you explain it that people go and sit at these places? How? And yet, it's happening. Yes, those are the extremes where it's so obvious. You don't need any discernment. It's just obvious. You just know. But then, we are talking about the serious ones are those who seem to be saying the right thing and yet are fusing it with the deception. Those are the dangerous ones. That's why you should know the word for yourself. So that even when you see 99% truth and there's 1% deception, you can still spot the deception. Because sometimes that 1% deception is more than poison. So if you just check everything, this pastor preached correct, all the 99% is good, but 1%, that one. But you realize that sometimes the 1% will be the deadly poison that can really, really affect your soul. See, there are mistakes. Yes, I said at that time, there are mistakes which can happen and all that as humans and all. But there are real statements that sometimes you know that this person really means what he's saying. Because when you have a statement, someone make it, before he starts making the statement, say, "Oh, don't stone me." I mean, before you make the statement, you say, "Don't stone me yet," that means you know that this thing that you are going to say is an abomination. You know it. So you already laying the foundation of, I know what I'm coming to say is an abomination, but don't stone me. That means this is not a mistake. You knew, you've conditioned your mind, you've thought about it, you've schemed and planned and decided that you are coming to say what you are saying or you are about to say. Because if you proceed with a caution that don't stone me yet, that means you know that what you are coming to say is worth being stoned for. So when such a person says such a thing, you can't say this is a mistake. It's not a mistake. He really had decided to come and throw this bomb. And the bomb is indeed a bomb. He says it, and it's like, wow, I mean, where from this one to? But he has said it. So this one, it's not a mistake. You see? So this is how we should be able to know that we should be alert. So that whether it's an intentional bomb or it's a mistake bomb or whatever, you can know the truth for yourself because you have your own Bible. And now we have these commentaries and all these things for free. You can get them online, some applications. You see, we've never had an opportunity to really know the truth more than like any other generation. The information is abundant all over the place. But this is also the time where we are being deceived the most. Wow, what an irony. But we shouldn't be people who get exposed to the truth and still allow ourselves to be deceived. No. That would be very, very, very sad. And it's my prayer and my hope that listeners of this program will not fall victim to the deception. We see some preacher says, "Hey, how can the pastor tell the reader not to continue?" Please, Lord, help us to have your word in us. Oh yeah, I mean, that day when he said, "I don't continue," I just knew that this man, he's coming to break the neck of this verse and then turn it upside down and shake it and then join it to another verse somewhere, and then he'll make a doctrine out of it. And then, yes, you heard indeed the wows were following. So, wow, my idea. You deceive me. It's like this deception is so strong. But, God help us indeed. So, you see, this is where we've gotten to in the body of Christ, where people are just not interested in the truth again. They are not. Very few people are interested in the truth. So, because they are not interested in the truth, they even pick offenses. People get angry. And these men of God who I've talked about in these deceptive things and all that, when you read the comments, their supporters are defending them. It's like, wow, they have a deep revelation. You people, you don't know. See? So they are so deceived that even when people are even citing the truth, Bible-based truth, Bible verses to really show and expose the truth, they are not interested. It's like, so far as our papa has said it, that is it. That is the truth. So their papa's truth overrides the real truth, which is the word of God. And this is where the deception is. This is how serious deception is. That's why we should build our capacity to the point where we will not fall prey to these sweet talkers, whoever they are and wherever they are and all. Because you see, so far as Jesus says many, that means soon we'll get to, we'll be getting exposed at one point in time, whether it's your church that would unfortunately become one of the deceiving centers, or you visit a church that is a deceiving center, or you listen to a station or a preacher on radio who is a deceiver. Soon we'll get to know them. or you get to hear from them in one way or the other. Because if they are many and they are going to deceive many, that means they will be all over the place. So the probability of you encountering them in one way or the other is going to be a possibility. That's why you should be ready for them, so that when you are exposed to them, you get to whatever way it is, you will not fall. You can escape. You can first identify it and then run for your life. Because if you can identify deception, I mean, what else is left than to run for yourself, run and save yourself? The identification. So that's why topics like these things, that's the examples and all these things, should give you an insight, some of the strategies, and know how to identify them. I'll be talking more as we go on in the subsequent editions. And these are meant to just equip ourselves. And you see, because I don't want to be controversial, so I've just kept out, like, no mentioning any pastor's name or ministry's name and all that, because it's safer that way to keep the content as it is, you know, so that is the information that we need. It's not about the personality or something. But these are examples which we need to hear, we need to learn from, so that at least we hear others. It will not be the same thing, of course, but you have an example of how some of the things may come about, the way they will go about the deception and all that, and you can safeguard yourself. All right, so I believe we've learned something this evening. We've been blessed together. And as I said, the times are getting darker and darker. So, well, we have the good news of the Word of God is, as the darkness takes over the world, the light will also shine. I mean, I think Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. So I believe as darkness increases, the light of the world, the lights, we being the lights, will also make an impact. And God will help us. The Holy Spirit will guide us and help us and teach us. Let's get into the Bible. Let's decide to listen to Bible, audio Bible. Let's read. Let's, you know, more Bible, more Bible, more Bible. You can't have too much of the Bible as a believer. No. The more, the better. And I believe that's how we should go. That's the way we should go. All right, good night, and God bless you. Let me go back to my song for the night. Keep me in your will. Wow.
Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly, facing problems on my own. I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb.